Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello, Norwich. Welcome to the Playhouse. Please welcome a man who's worried that he's a ghost on a TV in the Premier Inn. It's Richard Herring. Thank you very much. Oh, this is much better than last week's microphone. Though this podcast will go out long after the other one, so it doesn't work. Welcome to Richard Herring's. You're going to like this one. Lowest off siblings tie the knot podcast. We went there. It's a new reality show that we're working up. I was talking to Julian of Norwich the other day, who I was very surprised to find out had been not only been dead for 600 years, but was also a woman. What are you like in Norwich, Julian of Norwich? She, as you know, in Norwich, she wrote the first known book in the English, written by a woman. And in chapter three, she said she calls this podcast Rahulastapur. So don't know if that's gonna catch on. Good. Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. I'm not going to do too much stand up at the top because I'm doing eight podcasts in 8 days, and it's I've got nothing. And what I'd written down is my son's being annoying, and I did that in the last podcast. So it's lovely to be back in Norwich. I think I've probably done every tour show I've ever done has come to Norwich. So even the early days, we used to do the Norwich Arts Centre, and we used to do Lee and Herring shows there. So I've got lots of happy memories of playing here to hardly any people. Still I come back. Crazy. And while I'm here, we are... don't tell anyone about that we record two in the same night, first of all. And don't tell anyone that we're doing two more tomorrow. So if there is another show tomorrow. So if you want to come back for that one,
you're very welcome. We've got Joe Pasquale and Jeff Innocent, who's an unlikely TikTok star as a 50, 60-year-old comedian. He's a fantastic stand-up comedian. There are some tickets left, so tell your friends. Do feel free to come back if you would like to. But, you know, you've done well to come once. So thank you very much for coming. Look, we're going to crack straight on. We've got an amazing guest this week. She is probably best known as Umarida Barrios in the Dyerfield Chronicle. It sounds like I've just made, just thrown a Scrabble board on the floor. Though that's, I believe it's a video game. We will see. Will you please welcome the amazing Emma Sidney, ladies and gentlemen? It's Emma Sidney. Emma Sidney. Hello. Umarida Barrios.
Umarida Barrios. Right. That's a video game.
It is a video game.
Oh, my God. So that's the sort of thing where you're given, when you do a video game, you're given the video footage of what the game's going to look like, but the mouth isn't moving yet. Okay. So it's just a kind of cyborg, like, going around, like, completely mute, like their mouth has been stolen from them. It's actually quite disgusting to see.
Yeah, it must be hard.
And then you have to voice them it with their movements. So I think Umarida Barrios, that was something like, "Sergeant, we are taking the clones to the dock." And they'll be like, "Yeah, nice, fine." So it's a lot of that.
Do you get recognised a lot from that job?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. No, what's really good is when you have to do the death noises. They're like, Umarida Barrios, she's going to get brutally murdered if the player is good at what they're doing.
Yeah.
So you have to give like a full range of death sounds. So they'll be like, wow. So maybe just like a small death because they just, you know, you got to the end of your energy. So that's like, And then they'll be like, "Oh no, this time it's if the players really put a dagger straight through your stomach." it's an interesting job, and I recommend it.
Is there going to be more episodes of that? Any more
I
games?
I don't know.
No. Would you go back?
I'd go back in a heartbeat. It's a very interesting job. It's not overly taxing, to be totally honest.
Okay, good. Look, there's so much to talk to you about. You've done, you know, you have sort of snuck in there and done like pretty much every TV show in the world.
It's a sneak.
It's a little sneak. What I was watching you most recently in is the final series of Ghosts, which you've been in before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But which is, you play the sister of Lolly's character.
Yeah, the adopted sister of Kitty.
Yes.
Well, Kitty's adopted sister, who is, you know, an evil bitch, really. But then, well, no, hang on. No.
Should
sorry, that's a spoiler.
Don't spoil it. I think she gets some redemption. I think you get something nice at the end. So it's nice to come back.
But it really made me appreciate what Lolly Adefope, wearing that corset. I mean, that job, to have to play a character who always wears the same thing.
Yeah.
And you're strapped in like that. My God, she should get a BAFTA just for that.
Yeah, although, you know, Simon Farnaby doesn't have any trousers on, which I think is worse.
Yeah, I mean, poor bloke.
She's nice and warm.
Yeah,
Lolly.
She is nice and warm.
Within the outside scenes.
It's all out.
Was that an exciting job? I mean, because you came into Ghost maybe in the second or third series.
Third series.
So it was very well established.
Yeah, that house it's so iconic.
Yeah.
When you film Ghosts, it's all completely in that house. So even if there's a club scene, like there's one episode where they go to a club, that's actually a back room of the house that they've just done up to look like it. So it's like completely contained on that set. So yeah, it was amazing. And there's a real family atmosphere there. And they're so nice.
They all seem nice. I've met pretty much everyone now, I think. I haven't met Martha's the only one that I've never
she's
met.
Awful.
Yeah, she's horrible.
She's a nasty beast.
She does seem...
She's lovely. And it's horrible. You always sound like a lovey when you say that, but they are actually so nice.
I think they are. It is, disappointingly.
Yeah.
Not a bad
good
egg.
Goss.
Not good goss. Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind. From that show.
Never mind. Well, you know, I'd be very excited to be in Ghosts, but I offered to die and be an actual ghost in it.
And they turned you
They'd
down.
They still turned me down. And I died, and I am a ghost, so I'm very annoyed. I'm very annoyed about it. You you sort of started off in the footlights, in the Cambridge footlights.
Yeah, a bit naff.
Yeah.
Bit naff nowadays to say from footlights.
I mean, it was very naff in the days when I was in the Oxford, I was in the Oxford Review.
Okay.
And I had a very horrible time as a result. That was 35 years ago. So it's a long tale.
As in it was naff coming from the Oxford Review?
Well, it was not only naff, it was, I was, you know, nearly chased out of town.
God. Well, yeah, I mean, Oxford Review, we were... Oh, it's so embarrassing talking about this stuff. It's so snotty student rubbish of sort of going, oh, Oxford are bollocks. But we were like that. And, we were really harsh, really rude. But yeah, no, I was in Footlights in Cambridge and my year group was great. It was like Ahir Shah, who just won the award, the Comedy Award this year. Phil Wang was one of my mates.
Wow.
He's not done very well, which is really depressing, but I wish him all the best. So loads of people who were amazing. And I think that's the big privilege of Footlights, really, of just seeing your mates go on to do comedy, so it encourages you to do the same.
Yeah, it feels like you are, I mean, it's not just Footlights, but there's a gang of people that you start working with, and then you do well, and then they ask you to do the next thing.
Yeah.
So like Jamie Dimitri as well, obviously.
He was Bristol. Oh God, yeah, we're all this uni sketch group. He was Bristol Reunions a few years above me. Mm. So he was doing his kind of character shows just as I was graduating, and you kind of all find each other in the same bars in Edinburgh, I guess.
But I think it's, I think the thing is it's good to have a gang, and it does come out of university a lot. I think, and other stand-ups and other comedians often don't like it, but you can kind of go, and I understand that. They really didn't like it the year I was the
but we
took the brunt of it. But you are able to do that. I think the main thing about it is just that group that you can all push through together. So you start working together, and if you're in a college, which is often, the young ones obviously all met at Manchester and all that sort of thing. So, it means you can work together and push through. And I think so.
And I think alternative comedy in particular needs like more of a group to come together, because stand up, it's more inherently you on your own.
Yeah.
But I think thinking of somebody like Jamie Dimitriou and Sheeps as this sketch group who are a bit above me, I ended up marrying one of them, but that's my own problem. But yeah, there was various kind of like alt comedy groups at in those kind of years that, by getting to know each other, you're in each other's sketches and you're kind of making show, or you're making kind of indie comedy together, which maybe a stand-up doesn't need in quite the same way. It's more inherently solitary.
And so were you doing, as well as doing the Footlights, were you, your early shows, the first shows you did in Edinburgh on your own were like character shows, were you doing four or five different characters a show? Were you doing those as a student, or was that something that came sort of just out of...
I was doing that as a student, yeah. So that was a great... I mean, I did French and Spanish at uni, so I just did loads of comedy in Spanish. And I still do it to this day because I can't think of anything else. And also that's kind of what is so amazing about Footlights, that they have these weekly smokers, you know, these nights where you go on and just do your own material, which at the age of 18, 19 is an amazing thing, really.
Yeah, and I think if it's the similar thing for us, and you just would do different stuff every time.
Yeah.
So like as in stand-up, it's like you're honing 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you would, in 3 years of being a student, you would get through so much material and work out what worked and what didn't work. And,
Totally.
So it's that amazing training ground.
The best place to bomb as well. Yeah. I mean, really embarrassing, because then you see them in the club later and they don't want to get off with you. Rightly so. But it's like a safe place to bomb. It's a safe place to do rubbish stuff and to start kind of working out what you want to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the first things, I would say it's the first things I saw you, and it can't have been because I've seen loads of these things, but the thing that you did you were talking about the Spanish thing, but you did the Spanish soap opera.
Oh,
sketch.
Yeah. La Princesa de Woking.
Yes.
So, that's my short film that, yeah, you can find it on YouTube. I think it's on Vimeo as well, but I don't really know what Vimeo's place in the world is.
No, I don't think Vimeo knows either.
Yeah.
They're just hanging in there and see what happens.
It's just a cool, sexy little thing on the side.
Yeah.
So yeah, on YouTube you can find it. It's called La Princesa de Woking. And the concept is if a Mexican production company picked a random place on the map, accidentally picked Woking, and then imagined what the Woking experience is like.
Yeah.
Basically, I lived in Mexico on my year abroad, and I just, watching all these telenovelas, they would be about the most surprising things. Like, I'd be like to my friend, like, what's this one about? And she'd be like, oh, it's about like an oil mine, and everybody like gets trapped in the oil all the time, and also there's like a prison in the oil mine. It's really exciting. This is episode number 455. And it's like, God, that's a thick concept. You know, it's like rich, it's deep. Yeah. Why have they dared to attempt that? So that's kind of what I did with La Princesa de Woking. It's a lot of kind of getting the wrong idea about the NHS. The main character's called Becky Hello. And it's really stupid. It's so stupid, but really.
But it's an amazing piece. When you were in Mexico, did you try to do comedy out there?
I did. Try is the right word. Okay.
I mean, I imagine that, but that's it's so, even if you speak the language, which you obviously do, it's so difficult culturally to go to somewhere, which I imagine is alien to you.
I mean, I booked out a night in the back of a cafe where I was staying for, I think they were called Monólogos Cómicos de MRCD. You know, comic monologues, it's an easy translation. But there's this...
You beat Norwich, I have to tell you.
Yeah, Norwich, just don't get... No worries, guys. What did I do in that? Yeah, so there's this phrase in Mexican Spanish, specifically Mexican Spanish, which is no mames. So you'd say it... Does anybody know Mexican Spanish? Fine. Just me. No, I'm joking. So no mames... No mames, you would say it in the context that somebody says something crazy and you don't believe it, and you go, no mames, way. And I said once, what does it actually mean, no mames? Like, I can't really connect it to normal grammatical Spanish. And my friend said, oh, it means, just like, don't suck my dick. I was like, God, I've been saying that to a lot of people. A lot of elderly Mexican men. When they tell me something fascinating about their childhood. Oh, don't suck my dick. Lovely to meet you, sir. So anyway, in my Monólogos Cómicos, I think I did a piece about, you know, I think I went into that in like probably very bad Spanish. And I think I just about got away with it. But overall, it was like stick to your own language, really. So, yeah.
But that's, you know, what an exciting thing to attempt and, you know, and also just... And then it leads... It's interesting how, you know, an experience like that, years down the line, you think, oh, this could be something.
Yeah, this becomes the Princesa de Woking, yeah.
But again, I think when you're young and, you know, when you're immersed in comedy, you are thinking about it all the time, which obviously...
Yeah.
That group of people as well.
And also being, like, when you're younger, you just take so many risks. Yeah. You're like, this is probably going to be absolute crap, but I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
There's a kind of fearlessness that's
It is.
I
can't believe... I think back to being like 19, 20, 21.
Yeah.
Like, A, doing student comedy, but then coming to the real world and then thinking I could go into pubs and do jokes in front of people who were just 3 or 4 years older than me.
Yeah.
And having the confidence to do that, because I wasn't a confident person, but I felt the confidence.
Were you a wallflower?
Well, in real life, I was quite shy.
You're very shy in the green room.
Yeah, I was very shy.
And about shivering in a corner. Don't worry, Richard.
Once I get up here, I just come alive.
It's true.
It is an interesting thing. I do feel that a little bit. I think this is who I really am, and that guy back there is
fine.
You know, yeah. So sorry for what all the things he did. I don't know if it's a legal defence, but I'm building it up. It's worked for other comedians to have a long backstory that they then go, oh, no, this is what it was.
So
let's move on. Look, I'm just going to dot around because there's loads of things that I'm interested in. We were just briefly talking backstage about touring, and you have toured with Alan Partridge. You're in the last Alan Partridge.
I was,
tour.
Yeah.
So tell us about what were you doing in that, and how was it?
This was Alan Partridge Live Stratagem.
Yeah.
I played two female characters. So one in the first half, one in the second half, both sort of like enemies of Partridge, I guess, like kind of, you know, villains to him. So one was a woman he had supposedly taught how to meditate, and then I just sort of undermined him on stage for a while, which was really nice to get to do that. Like, honestly loved that. And then another one was a drunk woman in the audience, so I was a plant in the audience. So when that was like 8,000 people and you're a plant amongst 8,000, I wouldn't recommend that emotionally. It's too stressful. So then I'd come on stage and kind of like essentially wrestle him. Which again, I loved. I really loved manhandling Steve Coogan. and that was a national tour over, I think it was 2 months. But we were in a tour bus like the Spice Girls. And I didn't realise that was, you know, I thought maybe we'd get the different venues by trains or something. But actually, you'd finish your gig in Glasgow or whatever. And then it would be like Steve being like, right, we're off to Bournemouth. And you get in this Spice Girls tour bus.
Yeah.
Steve just sort of, and I could say this to his face, chats shit for like 3 hours. And then goes to one of these sort of little beds in the sort of, in the upper deck of this double-decker bus, and there were also dancers. So
sounds exactly like my tour arrangement. That's, this is exactly what I have. I have dancers. Well, they don't come on stage.
But they're lovely.
They're just in the bus.
They're so
dancing.
Gorgeous, yeah. Those guys. How's your bus?
It's a Charan, a VW Charan.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
Pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah. I've got on the Charan, I'd like to work when I'm on the way, so I'll research this. But all they have on the back of the seat, you have a little tray you can pull up, but it's not good enough to support a laptop. So I've just bought a thing you hang over the back of the front seat that you can that you can rest as a table thing. So it's similar to the Steve Coogan.
Yeah, we had a PS5 and a mini fridge.
Did you? Yeah. I mean, you do hear. I saw the Paul Merton Impro All Stars, whatever that group is called. They have a bus, kind of unnecessarily, I think it's when you get to that stage.
I now see them. Exciting. They're a specific kind of bus. Yeah. They're mint green,
right.
And now I see them now and again, like in the UK, and I go, my God, those buses. I now know what they're doing.
Yeah, and you go, who's in there?
They're taking Coogan around.
It could be Coogan. Could be anyone. They could be pop stars.
Yeah, could be anyone.
Mainly the bands use them. I think they're more of an American thing, because like in America, you have to drive between gigs, and it's 15 hours driving.
Yeah.
When you're going, even if you're going Newcastle to Bournemouth, it's not that far. You don't need a fucking bus.
For sure. And also, I think just arena comedy on that level is such a rare thing. Yeah. You know, that's, I think, the reason we were in this bus, kind of being like, we're the one, this is the one arena comedy thing going round.
I mean, it makes sense if you've got like a big group of people, it makes sense. How was it for you? I presume Partridge was a big part of your, I'm going to say, childhood, which I think will be correct, unfortunately, for me, as being someone who was there before Partridge existed.
Huge part. I kind of couldn't cope, really, especially initially. I hate to say this, but it was great working with him.
Yeah.
As in, I hate to kind of give him that satisfaction, you bastard. But actually, it was so great to work with him. Sorry, you probably all know this, but he's really funny.
He's all right.
He's my goss. His Partridge, him riffing his Partridge was really, really funny.
Yeah.
And just seeing his kind of process, which he just becomes, he's just Partridge's, he just is Partridge.
Yeah.
And that's just like in real life, I don't know, if you're into that, you're into that. I'm into that. I just found it hilarious. So it was great. And really fun to work with him. And also he can deal with being talked back to, which I really appreciate. I guess I'm a bit rude or something.
How did you discover that? Was there a moment where you thought, I'm going to take a plunge and be rude to the comedy god Steve Coogan? Or did you just think, I'm going to do it anyway, and if he sacks me...
Yeah, I think it was a bit of that.
Yeah.
it was a little bit like you don't have enough time to get someone else. So, you know, and also there was a moment when he said, this is in our first rehearsal, he said in quite a serious way, sorry, I hope I'm not dropping him in it here.
But I hope you are. I hope you're dropping yourself in it.
He said, be funny. And I was like, yeah, all right, mate, obviously. and I think that helped, maybe, you know, it's kind of, then it kind of set a tone of like, you know, I'm on the same page as you. Yeah. I'm not as good as Partridge as you. I'm not as good as you at many things. But, you know, we're in it together, which was a really, and that really felt the whole way through, which was great.
Yeah, terrific. It's what an amazing experience. And, you know, just the bus. That's the thing I'm taking home.
Great bus.
One day, I'm going to get them. For next time, I'm getting a bus.
Go on.
I'm going to be coming here in a big bus. and it won't cover the cost of the bus.
That's it. As long as you know you're going to be, you know, it's going to be a loss. Yeah. Just enjoy it.
I'll get out and I'm going to sleep in the bus just out there. I'm not going to drive anywhere. You think of the money, you know, Premier Inn isn't cheap. Yeah, it's pretty cheap. It's pretty cheap.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, look, this is something I didn't see this show, but I'm very fascinated to hear about it. You were played Emily Maitlis in Prince Andrew the Musical.
Prince Andrew the Musical, yeah.
Which is it's quite bold to...
It's bold programming,
About that.
It's not as cancelable as you'd think.
No.
You know.
I mean, Prince Andrew's still going, so it's pretty hard to be cancelled.
He's somehow thriving.
He's doing okay.
Yes, I was Emily Maitlis, Prince Andrew the Musical, written by Kieran Hodgson, and also Munya Chihuahua, who plays Prince Charles. King Charles now. Yeah. So I need a sequel for Munya there. That was so much fun, so stupid. The only issue doing that was that you realise that the fiction is never going to be as good as the truth.
Yeah.
Like, remembering some of those moments from that interview, like, they're just so, they're so much better than any written comedy.
Yeah.
There's that moment when she says, Jeffrey Epstein is now dead. And Andrew goes, yes. It's just perfect, isn't it? It's incredible. So that's a musical version of kind of that. It's that interview, but amongst it, Andrew's life. And I think why it gets away with it is it just kind of, what is so funny really is our society, our monarchy. You know, whether you're into the monarchy or not, it's pretty funny how it works. It's just kind of absurd. And so I think that's why the show really works, because it just pulls the rug, like, several, you know, so many times under, like, how this country actually functions.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, hilarious to me.
It is. It was funny. There was a bit in the... there's a bit that I heard quoted that I can't believe was in it, but he says something like, I wasn't the bar, I don't go to the bar, I don't know where the bar is. Is that they were talking about when he was at the nightclub, he was saying, oh. I don't know where the bar is. He's going to nightclubs and saying, I don't know where the bar is. I mean, he definitely knows where the bar is. It's where the people are bringing
the
drinks
bar
from.
Is. Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, there's a lot in the, there's a lot of lyrics in that seems so absurd, but they are just taken from real life.
And did you have to get into the... You know, and getting the part of Emily Maitlis, did you do research?
Yeah,
did you have to shadow her to know what she was like?
I shadowed her for years. I think no, because it's Emily Maitlis singing about, you know, the main thing is like Emily Maitlis. What do I sing? I sing something like, I'm a fucking pro and I'm going to fucking smash you. You know, it's something like that. I don't think Maitlis really talks like that professionally. But no, so I mainly just focus on that kind of thing she does with, you know, putting her, you know, her, what do you call it, her chin down, yeah, and the laser focus. So I just did a bit of that. But I hope she wouldn't be offended by it, because I love Emily Maitlis.
I think she'll be okay.
Yeah, she'll be
okay. I think she'll like it. I think, what an amazing... thing to happen to her.
Yeah.
She bet she couldn't believe her fucking luck.
Yes. <right. laughs>
Like, all the way through, what, he's going to do the interview?
Yeah.
he's answering these, what, he said what? I'm just thinking, fucking hell, Andrew. Dial it back a bit, mate. You're going to be doing this to help yourself. Fucking hell. It is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And a musical's a lovely way of doing it.
Yeah. No, it's, we'd recommend it. It's on Channel 4.
Okay, well, we can catch available. Up. I'll catch up on,
good
4,
on you.
4OD.
It's not 4OD anymore.
4OD, what's it called?
But that was all such 4. Great branding. Oh, no. Wait, which is it? It is 4OD or it is all 4? It's just Channel 4. 4. But the branding must have been so good that all the time we're still, like, grasping for 4OD.
Yeah, I am.
Wow. That's some brilliant marketing.
I won't change. If the thing changes, I won't change with
it. No,
it's
need.
Twitter, Opal Fruits. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
GIF.
Marathon Bar.
GIF
for
is
you.
GIF. Yeah, Marathon, Jen. Yeah. Well done. Good history
I've
knowledge.
I've heard about it. Ancient history for me. No, I'm joking.
I'm going to ask you an emergency question.
Oh, God,
it's going to be,
okay.
If all the art galleries and museums in the world got together and said, we love you and your portrayal of Emily Maitlis or whatever part they like.
Yeah.
And we would like, as a reward, to give you one thing from any museum or art gallery that you can keep. What would you like? Yeah.
Oh.
The woman in the audience is more excited than anyone.
That I can keep.
You're not getting it. You're not even getting it and you're excited. And we actually, whatever it is, we're going to bring it in from backstage. That, if you don't gasp at that, that will be a disappointment.
That's really... So, hang on. Here's my question with that. Do the public, the general public, know that they've given it to me, or would this be a private transaction?
Well, you want to keep it secret.
Well, it depends what it is. It could really, you know, be a stressful thing.
It'll be an insurance nightmare for you. That's true.
If it's the Elgin Marbles or something.
Yeah. Well, if it's the Elgin Marbles. Don't want to send them back to Greece. I'm going to fucking have them. It's so bad what the British Museum have done. Give them to me instead.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Choose the Elgin Marbles.
If it was private, I could choose the Elgin Marbles. No,
well, if you want the Elgin Marbles, choose the Elgin Marbles or no one will know. But we will judge you.
Okay, fine. Okay, what would I pick? I'd like one of Toulouse-Lautrec's pieces on cardboard. You know, he did those lovely gouache thing. That's not a very interesting answer, is it?
It tells us a lot.
Oh, go on. Can I have the crown jewels?
Yeah, you can have the crown jewels.
That's the first thing that came to my mind, and I was like, "Don't say that." No, I would love that. The crown, the purple crown.
Yeah, I mean, you've taken the whole thing. I mean, I think we'd have to allow you to have all of the crown jewels.
Yeah, and
the people would be annoyed, but they could come round your house, and you could set up a little conveyor belt that goes by so they're not allowed to stop and look at it, even though they've paid lots of money. That's what they've got. They're traveling, you get on a conveyor belt, and so you have to kind of walk back. We can't.
Hang
So you don't stop and gawp at them.
Where's the conveyor belt?
In the Tower of London.
No, there isn't.
You stand on a conveyor belt and then they whisk you past the thing so you can't stop and look at them.
What?
I mean, you can look at them, but just so you don't... Have you seen this? Am I making it up?
Are there...
Maybe it was just me. Get the conveyor belt out of that. Chubby guy's going to spend 10 minutes looking at it.
Are there...
You have to get on a little walkway and it takes you past it.
Are there beef eaters on this conveyor belt?
No, it's all behind glass, isn't it? They reckon it's safe. I reckon we could seal them together, you and
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
This could be the next.
Let's give it a go.
Yeah, I think we could think of something.
Yeah, if I could get those, if no, I would also, I would request that it's a private transaction.
Yeah.
Just back to that. Do you know what?
And then people go, where are the crown jewels?
Yeah.
We can't tell you it was part of the transaction.
Didn't you promise
Emma Sidney she could have one thing from any museum? It's not connected to that. Would you wear the crown around and about? I mean, you wouldn't wear it around and about. You don't want it to be secret. You want it to keep it secret.
I wouldn't wear the crown, but I would wear some of it.
Right,
just,
okay.
You know, just for kicks.
So ridiculous. When you see him in all his stuff.
Mad.
And that big hat.
Yeah.
The jewels on it. It's absolutely fucking
insane. The coronation
insane.
Was quite funny, wasn't it?
He had to go behind a curtain for a bit of it.
Yeah. I loved it. I watched every minute of it.
Did he?
You know, I just found it. And I mean this with love, with light and love.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
It was just ridiculous.
And like, you know, the whole Penny Mordaunt stuff. That was funny. So, yeah, anyway.
Okay. Good, good answer. Look, we'll go back to... Well, let's talk about Starstruck, which is a fantastic show that I'm sure people have seen, in which you play...
Silence from Norwich.
Yeah, not there's no
Fair
TV
enough.
Out here. They're still... They've got Sail of the Century, that's it. They're still... That won't mean anything to you.
Can I just say, in the bar of this theatre, I saw this amazing sign, the rules sign. It says, no top, no pop. No shoes, no booze.
Okay.
To me, that feels like a very Norwich thing. To have to sort of have that as... Oh, I want my pop. No, top.
Yeah.
Put your top back on.
And it seems you can walk around with no trousers or pants on.
Yeah, exactly.
No pants, thanks.
Yeah.
Have a free drink. Good. Starstruck is better than Sail of the Century. I'm going to stick my neck out. Even though I'm in Norwich, I'm going to say that. It's the quiz of the week. Quiz of the fucking week. So the paucity of ambition of Nicholas. It's the best quiz this week. Let's talk about Starstruck, not Sail of the Century, which you don't know what that is. Mm. Simon Cowell was on it once, wasn't he, on Sail of the Century as a contestant. Let's talk about Sail of the Century.
Oh, damn.
Let's talk about Sail of the Century with you. Do you know anything about Sail of the Century?
No. Say it again.
Sail of the Century. Nicholas Parsons.
Right.
It was the host.
Yeah.
It was a big game show. It was before The Price is Right or anything. It was the 1970s. You should know about this stuff.
The 1970s?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, go on.
And there was a man on a silver horse and it turned round at the beginning. That was just the Anglia. Remember Anglia TV?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Oh, do you remember Anglia TV?
I actually do remember that, yeah. I don't care to remember it.
It was amazing.
But...
What an amazing show. should bring that back. Starstruck.
Yes.
Which you play Rose Matafeo's flatmate.
Yeah.
And are married to a guy.
Yeah.
Who's your husband or partner.
Yes.
And Rose Matafeo was your flatmate.
Yes.
Was it just a documentary, this, or was it, did they
yes.
write anything?
It's quite embarrassing, really. I mean, it's... Yeah, when we made the first series and the second series, actually, the three of us were all living together, me, Rose and Al. So it was really easy in terms of transport. You just kind of like walk out your door and yeah. But it was amazing as well and really fun to... It's been interesting with the series that they've... I say interesting, that woman wrote it. She knew exactly what she was doing. But all the series completely reflect where we're at in our lives. Yeah. So it's kind of lovely. We've realised we've kind of made this really strange, overly elaborate time capsule. Some people just take iPhone photos. Yeah. We made a series. So yeah, like series one, you know, living in a flat together, not really sure what's going on with our lives. And series three, married, living apart, you know. Oh, I don't have a baby in real life, no. So at least there's a bit of a difference there. Yeah. But yeah, so it is quite close to real life.
Yeah, it's a lovely series. It's about, I mean, it's sort of like Notting Hill, but not shit.
Yeah, I like Notting Hill.
I don't like Notting Hill.
I'll
tell you what I don't like about Notting Hill. I think Julia Roberts all the way through is an absolute fucking bitch to Hugh Grant, and he's absolute. Fucking counter
secretly,
him and doesn't do anything nice for him.
Yeah.
It's all about her. She's absolutely horrible to him and he still ends up with her. It's the reverse of every other film in that usually it's a man doing that to a woman. So maybe that's fair enough.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I think she's a nasty piece of work in that film. What I like about it is that song, and the smile on your face makes me know. And that is enough for me to love the whole movie. And I also love that scene when he's walking through the seasons.
Yeah,
there's
nice.
A little bits that there's some bits that like make it.
Oh, don't
okay
get me wrong, I'll watch it and cry all the way through.
Yeah,
it.
Exactly.
All of Richard Curtis's films I'll watch and then I'll be furious about.
Totally. I think that's
furious
part
about
of
everything.
It. Yeah.
And while I'm watching Notting Hill, I don't care there are no black people in it, and then afterwards I go, no, that was wrong. It was wrong that you liked that vision of Great Britain.
Then 2 months later, you're watching it again.
And then I'm watching it again.
It's the drug of the country.
It is.
So, yes, Starstruck is a kind of... Yeah, it's similar in premise, but not really in any other way.
No.
Premise is quite a big deal, though, isn't it? I think it's, you know...
Well, it's different because she doesn't... Am I right in remembering that she doesn't know he's... When she gets off with him, she doesn't know he's famous.
Yeah, she doesn't know he's famous and she doesn't respect him at all.
No.
There's a lot of kind of going, you're an actor, fuck. Get fucked. Which is what I really love about the show. I think it's... There's a real realism to Starstruck. It's like quite a heightened premise, but how you would really react, which is, you know, freaking out and taking the piss out of it. You know, there's a kind of naturalism there that I think is really fun to act in, but also means I'm very proud to be a part of it because it feels like a kind of real version of otherwise something that could be seen as quite like silly or frothy.
Yeah. It's sort of interesting because I think it's a really great series. And nowadays, it feels like with a TV show, like I think if it was 20 years ago, I think everyone would you know, we said this, everyone would go, oh yeah, you know, but know it. And I feel like this audience don't necessarily know this show.
Ooh.
Am I right? No, I'm not. They know it. They just don't like it.
Yeah, that's,
they just shut up. But it's much more difficult for a show to like really break through, right? Because there's loads of shows and less people are watching TV. And shows like there are, you know, like your CV shows like this come along a lot more often as well.
Yeah.
So I think when I'm looking back to last century, something like that would come along once every 5 years and it feels like this is, you know.
Yeah, but there's such pros to that. I mean, on one side, this sounds crazy me saying this, but it is quite popular in America.
Okay,
so
well,
that's quite nice. Me and Rose were in New York and these girls went, we love Starstruck. And then you're like, that's actually really cool.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
I mean, it's in like about 90 countries or something.
Yeah. A lot of dubbing going on with that. Me in Italian is so good. I was really like, that's a better version of the character than what I can do. It's just, it's perfect. So there's that, but also there's something quite nice about, I remember Simon Bird talking about how after the day after The Inbetweeners came out, sorry, I'm really stealing someone else's anecdote here, but whatever. The day after The Inbetweeners came out, he was in a petrol station and basically everyone was just like, ha! Like taking the piss out of him and it never stopped.
Yeah.
And that's intense, you know. I don't think that's actually... The reality of that is kind of, you know...
It also happened the day before the show went out for him, though. So that's where it's...
Exactly, yeah.
That's where it falls down. No, again, no, absolutely. It is, yeah. You know, it's nice to be, yeah. I'm not trying to demean the thing, because I think it is such a beautiful series.
No, don't and worry.
Rose, I mean, Rose is incredible, and yeah. She wrote it as well, so it's, it is, yeah. And you're a writer too, as well, so you're writing.
Yeah, well, I mainly do like writers' rooms, right. Which are obviously in the UK are kind of like slightly smaller thing. You know, trying to get Princessa Awoken off the ground. So I'll keep on. I was thinking, like, if I get really old and it still hasn't been made, I can just play like an evil Woking Latino stepmother.
Yes,
like a Spanish speaking elderly evil stepmother will always be in my playing range.
Yes.
So yeah, no, I write as well, and also still gig a bit. Yeah. But I kind of gig in a very like. Just because it's so fun.
Right.
And I'm not very good at, like, I don't do, like, the club circuit or anything.
No.
Because I'm weak.
Well, also, but your stuff is not...
It's kooky.
Not club material. Well, you can say that.
Yeah.
But it's also, because it's characters.
It's
and
characters,
it's, that stuff can work in a club.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it also cannot work in a club.
Yeah. There's been
which
ups
is true
and
of
downs.
All acts, believe me. I did a gig last week that I can tell you about. But, but it's, you know, there are lots of places you can do this sort of stuff. I'm glad you are still
absolutely
doing that. Because look, you're very successful. You don't have to. Can't do live stuff anymore. You're working a lot.
Well, I think it's also that it's so immediate live comedy, and that's what's so amazing about it. With anything with TV, that kind of stuff, there's so much waiting around, and the waiting around for something to get green lit, or if it's just waiting around for. I'm doing something at the moment. I'm about to have my sixth costume fitting, and it's just for one. It's for one scene, and you know when you're like, I'm really lucky to be here, but also. What the fuck is this? This is crazy. And they drive me an hour and a half to get to the place. And then they try like 60 outfits on me.
Right.
Then they drive me home another hour and a half. And this has happened 5 times in the last 2 weeks. So, you know, cry me a river. It's not that bad. But in those moments, you're like, this is a really weird part of the job that actually isn't... You know, it isn't why you did it, or you're more just having to kind of sit through it and do it, as opposed to like being on stage. You can just get there and kind of work on your stuff.
There's the autonomy of performance.
Totally.
You know, if you're creating, I mean, it seems like you did a lot of, because you, even when you did the Edinburgh shows, it was different characters.
Yeah.
You weren't repeating characters from year to year, if I'm right thinking.
Yeah, no, I was always doing different characters. Yeah, yeah kind of. Yeah, like at one point I got really desperate and I had a character whose main thing was that she just didn't have a neck. So I just... like, that's how creative, inverted commas, I was getting. So I was wrapped... My neck was wrapped in so many scarves.
Yeah.
So you had my head and then below. And then, yeah, the reveal at the end is, I just wish I had a neck. Yes, absolutely stupid. And that's not becoming a TV show,
is that not going to be a TV
show? If you want to perform that, get on a stage, because no one's putting money behind that.
Well, you could do that. That's the kind of thing I would do as a 15-year podcast.
Yeah.
There would just be that every...
The Richard Herring No Neck podcast.
But that's where comedy's glorious, because you're doing these high-concept things and very convoluted and thought-out characters.
Yeah.
Convoluted is the wrong word, but, you know... Is it? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then just like a stupid idea. And then, but they can, that can then lead to.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, the soap opera is just a stupid idea that you go, actually.
It's a really stupid
idea. It does work. It works in the one on YouTube. And, you know, I can absolutely see that working as a series as much as you go, that can't work as a series. You know,
I mean, I might have gone too stupid recently. My current sort of shtick I'm doing is being Sue Gray.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So off Partygate, and I wear a fake fringe and I just go off on one, but in the character of Sue Gray. I don't know. I've got to sack it off. No, I to be honest, I love it. I love being Sue Gray, but again, I don't
Have you thought about doing Sue Gray without a neck, though? Have you thought about that?
Well, I
just... We might be building on something
I had
here.
Forgotten about the girl without a neck. I do think I could build that into a whole new level.
Just a sitcom where no one's got necks and that's it. Everything's the same.
Yeah, but it's set in number 10.
Yeah.
It's civil servants who don't have necks and the main character is Sue Gray.
Yeah. I think you've got to wait 15 years until everyone's absolutely forgotten who Sue Gray is.
Yeah.
And then do it.
Because then it'll be really successful.
Very good. I don't know if I'm going to regret asking about this one. But on your IMDb page, this is, I nearly chose this as your credit. You were Hannah Bills in My First Dick. I thought, I don't want to start the show with that, but I might bring that in.
Never have agreed to do that part. And not because it's not a great little thing. I actually, you know, I love it. I love the script. But that title, it comes up a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
People going, so what is my first dick? Like, you know, was that, are you proud to be in my first dick?
Yeah. And are you proud to be in my first dick?
Look, it's actually a brilliant short film. It's really lovely. It's about, and it's something I kind of relate to. Maybe this is too much information. But it's about a, like, 9-year-old at primary school who doesn't have brothers.
Okay, this is sounding like problematic.
I know, of course it sounds problematic. The title sounds so problematic. It's a nightmare, this thing. But yeah, she's 9 years old and she realizes that she's just never seen a willy in real life. And she just starts, like, really wanting to see one. Are you interested yet? This probably is,
I mean,
on
my
video.
Audience are definitely interested in this. Yeah. They've suddenly pretty... Look at the guys on the front row, isn't it? They've suddenly woken up.
Star Show, they're like, yeah, we've seen it. My first dick is like, and basically she goes on a quest to find what a dick looks like, okay. And then she sells drawings of them in the library of her little primary school. See, it's adorable. It's actually great. And I remember, you know, well, I remember watching Beauty and the Beast as a kid.
Yeah.
And when he changes from beast into man... Do you remember that moment when he's the beast and then suddenly he's like levitating and all these like colours are coming out of his fingers and stuff and his back is arched. And I remember even as a kid being like, that's hot. Like when I was like 5, like, oh, I'm really into that. But also kind of thinking, wait, what's changed under his trousers? And then going, wait, but what does the beast look like under his trousers? Oh, my God. So My First Dick, I actually would recommend it. And I bet it is on Vimeo.
Okay, well, we'll
that's
find
exactly
that.
What Vimeo is
we'll
for.
Definitely
it's something
find
like
that.
My First Dick.
We'll definitely find that. Good. Yeah, look.
Good.
Look, no, this is also a slightly sexual question. No, we don't.
I don't laugh at the
man. No, because you've performed quite a lot with your partner, and you've had to do love scenes with your actual real life partner in character.
Yes.
I suppose I've done that as well, but it's with him as well, so it's really weird. It's really weird. He said I mustn't say to you.
Now it's coming out.
How did that work out for you? Was it because you sort of feel it's going to be easier?
I think it was easier. Well, yeah, okay. I'll be honest, because I've kissed him before.
Yeah,
kissing him again was fine. I tell you what was funny about it to me. So also this was a comedy sex scene, so you know it's not exactly that. It's fine. It's pretty easy, but. Now we have intimacy coordinators, and rightly so. Like, they are really useful, amazing members of the crew. I think I don't have a single bad word to say about them. You know, they're like lightly controversial, I think, amongst some weird older actors. And it's like, no, obviously they're great. But to be fair, an intimacy coordinator talking to you and your actual real life partner about how to simulate intimacy is actually awkward and insane.
Yeah.
So there was a moment where he said, so, he was a man, and he was like, I only say that because they're usually women and I was like, oh, male intimacy coach. Okay, yeah. Cool. So you're the one with the... They carry a bag of thongs and balls. And the balls are to bounce on to look like you're having sex. And the thongs are in case to try and look naked. But yeah. It's quite funny, like a man who's, you know, his main equipment is a bag of thongs. Anyway.
And him daring to tell you what's appropriate.
Yeah. But yeah, so he was saying, I hear you were partners in real life. And we said, yeah, we've been together a number of years. And he goes, you know, I hate to ask this, but have you had sex before? and it was in COVID. So I remember we had to be like, we were really distant from him as well. And us sort of shouting across this room going, yes, yes, we have to reveal we did once shag in our many years long relationship. So yeah, weird, but great, fine, yeah. Absolutely fine.
It is straight because it's 2007 when I filmed that.
When you had sex with your partner. Had sex.
Well, I was going out with the person that I was having to kiss on right. Screen. But there was nothing like that. Like, and yeah. I was
get on with it.
And I was, it was more. I wanted to do it so that it was, you know, like you always see naked women in these things, and I want to make sure that wasn't the case. But I got my bum out and stuff. But oh, so good I was naked, but like also then like the cameras. There's three cameras on you, and the script supervisor said, yeah, there was a point where you were just standing by the bath, and the screen that was looking at was just your cock. And I was thinking, that's my boss's cock there. And so there was absolutely no one thought about me standing around with no pants on. There was just shot where, because I fell out of a bath, so I had to I couldn't like fake it. And I said, look, I don't care. If everyone else is fine, I don't care about it.
See,
but
now
it's amazing
have...
in that short time that that's become...
Yeah.
Like, good, but
totally.
Amazing.
You would now have an intimacy coordinator with a sock
in
his bag of thongs to quickly slip it on your cock while it's on screen that big in front of everybody.
Well,
which is nice.
Better. It would have been better for everyone.
Yeah, that's it. It's not about you, it's about us.
It is.
It has changed so much in a short time, and it does now feel like just such a no-brainer. Because I think it did used to just be like, right, off you go. Maybe the man should wear three pairs of pants in case he gets a boner. And so now it's just, it's the stuff with balls, like bouncy balls, like, they're like Pilates balls and they come in all different sizes. That stuff is genius. So basically, you put them between you and you bounce on them, and they just, it looks like sex, but actually, it's pure ball play. But it does make, it makes you feel great. But, you know, it really takes that is obviously really awkward to hump people and pretend it's sex. So if you can put a bouncy ball in there, it just truly, because also these balls are like blue. So you're like, it just takes, like they're the colour blue, not sexual. Yeah, like, of course, that's a weird, useless pun. But yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, that's good. Because and people say, you know, like if you've done any scene where you kiss someone, oh, it must be amazing. It's like, you know, even if you like the person and even if you're going out with a person, you're surrounded by 20 other people who aren't even that interested.
It's totally embarrassing.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. And people find out how you kiss.
Yes.
That's what's awful. They get to see it up close, what your method is.
Yeah.
And they're like, Christ.
Well, it's a good job you've got a partner. That's all I can say, having watched you.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate that. Needed that tonight.
Look, we've nearly got to wrap up, but is there anything we can look forward to that's coming up that you can talk about?
God, I'm one of these... I hate it when people do this because they obviously seem like they're lying. I can't talk about stuff. it's so stupid, that stuff. But I think NDAs are just really cheap to, like, print out. I've just signed so many recently, and to be honest, one of the things, try and guess when it comes out, try and guess which it is. One of the things I was like, you want an NDA for that? Okay. As in, and I love doing it, but it's pretty lo-fi. So anyway, yeah. Sorry. I think I can't say anything other than I will continue to endeavour to be in the biz.
Yeah, and I think you're in pretty good, solid ground. It seems to be going very well.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And if you haven't seen these shows, do check them out. My first dick is my first...
my first dick. Get involved.
First
port
of call. But the Prince Andrew musical sounds amazing as well. So so check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. The amazing Emma Siddy.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Emma Siddy. Thank you to Scant Regard for doing the music that we're listening to. I'm indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, and Ben Evans, not that one, and George, and Beck, and everyone at the Norwich Playhouse. What a fantastic ride it's been. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. RichardHerring.com/ballback/tour or RichardHerring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.